Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, weary traveler. Need a short rest? Oh, I see. They said you'd be showing up about now. Come on, through the portal. Best not keep the Lore Mistress and Lore Master waiting. You know how they get.
Robots Radio presents the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast. The best way for everyone from experienced dungeon masters to those curious about D&D to learn more about the worlds, creatures, and lore of Dungeons & Dragons.
Hello and welcome to the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast. My name is Sergio and I will be your lore master for this episode. And I am joined by our special guest co-host who will be around for at least for the foreseeable future, helping with co-hosting duties. And I will let the man, the myth, the legend introduce himself.
Hi, everybody. I'm Sean Hamill. I wrote a book.
What? Okay, let's get all this out of the way because it's going to come up.
I can't have one conversation without bringing this up.
That you wrote a book and Stephen King liked it. And told the world that he liked it.
Yeah. It's got a blurb from Stephen King. The book is called A Cosmology of Monsters. Came out in 2019. It's got a blurb from Stephen King. He said he loved it, and I don't know why he would lie about that. So, I guess just to be nice, maybe. But
some rando from Arlington, yeah, Texas.
Yeah, to a young man. Jesus, I'm 40 years old. the book is out. You can get it wherever you get books. I got another book coming out next year called The Dissonance. It's not available for pre-order yet, but please keep your eyes peeled for that. Should be out in July. And that is the one time I'll mention that.
That's a lie.
I'm going to bring it up every episode.
So you write excellent books, but that is not the reason you are the co-host, the special guest co-host for this episode and for a few episodes in the future. The reason you are a special guest co-host is you and myself, we began our D&D journey together over a decade ago. We wanted to learn to play D&D. We wanted to fill that sort of like empty hole in our nerd pie, so to speak. And you learned how to play, played a few games, still play a few games, and enjoy it like a normal person. I have made it my entire personality. I went down a different direction on this fork in the road. But you have recently become enraptured with D&D thanks to Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah. That was my whole personality for a couple of months when it came out. That was pretty much what I was doing if I wasn't sleeping or working or eating. And sometimes while I was eating, I was playing. You know, it's not impossible to eat and play video games at the same time if you're determined enough, especially a mouse and keyboard game.
If you're not a coward, you can do this.
Yeah, if you're a hero like me.
So yeah, so I reached out to you, asked you if you wanted to co-host a few episodes. You obliged, but you really wanted to discuss some of the topics and subjects and groups and people and characters from Baldur's Gate 3 specifically. Some of the stuff that kind of piqued your interest.
Yes. Yeah. There are aspects of the lore that I had never been exposed to because I've mostly played in low level character situations. I've never gotten into a years long campaign or anything, or even a months long campaign. Like usually the playing I've done has been pretty limited in scope. You know, I'm trying to rectify that now by getting back into the game a little bit, but yeah, the Baldur's Gate 3 really opened up some new doors for me D&D wise that I had no idea even existed. And so it'll be fun to dive into that stuff.
Oh, they exist. All right. The doors exist. The first, very ominous, the first subject that we are going to tackle is that of the Shadow Druids. Now, if you have or have not played Baldur's Gate 3, if you have, then you're probably familiar with them. They're fairly early on in Act 1. And if you have not, you have quite a treat if you are planning on playing the game. And if you aren't familiar with the lore behind them, you're in for an even bigger treat. The treat itself is a little malicious. It's a little dark, and it's these folks don't mess around.
No, and Baldur's Gate 3 in general doesn't mess around. It is not a game that plays nice. I was constantly surprised by that.
Yeah, I pulled no punches for sure.
Mm-mm.
So the Shadow Druids, and this is something that is very much in keeping with Baldur's Gate 3 in particular, is they will take little bits of the lore that aren't really tapped into, aren't really extensive, and sort of work around that and kind of make it their own. Because, you know, there, if you look up Shadow Druids, if you put that into a search engine, you will almost exclusively find stuff about Baldur's Gate 3 and about the characters from the video game. Some deeper digging, if I could use words correctly, some deeper digging into that brings up what is known as the Shadow Circle. And so a slightly different name, obviously, and this goes back to the Advanced Dungeons and Dragons second edition days, but I feel like very much in keeping, like this is essentially the same thing. The Shadow Druids are the Shadow Circle, and vice versa. You know, a rose by any other name, as our good friend Billy Shakespeare once wrote. And probably said. He probably recited his own stuff. He, much like yourself, probably couldn't ever shut up about the stuff he wrote.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's your defining character. That's my whole personality as a writer. And I have to assume it was his too. I mean, if I wrote as well as Shakespeare, I mean, I won't shut up about it and I write like me, but if I wrote like Shakespeare, oh my God, it would be like nuclear level.
You'd unbearable, completely unbearable. So the Druidic Order, it tolerates a wide range of philosophies under the umbrella of its loosely organized structure and the variety of different branches, or their circles as they're known as, demonstrates this wide scope. You know, for example, there is the Circle of Dreams, there's the Circle of the Moon, of Wildfire, and so on and so forth. And there's actually a really prolific homebrew community around these druidic circles because it is so malleable. And I'll talk about more about that in the middle of the show when we do our homebrew corner of the week. But if you go on to DM's Guild, you know, just type in Druid and you'll see tons of homebrew subclasses, which is awesome. So there's a lot of variety when it comes to druids. The existence of the Shadow Circle is testament to this. The Shadow Circle is a secret society of druids within the larger druidic order. They accept members who see nature as this hostile cleansing force that ensures the survival of the fittest. Not hostile in, you know, like we are against it, but rather nature is against us.
Right. It's that idea of the sublime in its classical sense of like this thing that's just so much bigger and more powerful than us that, you know, is really, we're at its mercy.
No, right. Like we aren't the dominant species, or like humanoids aren't the dominant species, or, you know, the, you know, whatever, however you want to encompass the entirety of the species within the D&D multiverse. Like they aren't the dominant, you know, force on whatever planet they're on. It's nature itself, and nature is hostile to them, as, or can be hostile to them depending on their actions and behaviors. And so according to the philosophy of the Shadow Circle, civilization, especially the building of towns, cities, progress, as we would call it in today's parlance, has weakened humankind and many other demi-human races, other humanoid races. So what are some of the methods that the Shadow Circle employs? So they see barbarian humans and other primitive races, you know, in their perspective, as inherently more vital than quote unquote civilized people. You know, so the, go ahead.
Oh, well, when you say more vital, you mean just like they're more, they're stronger, they're more likely to survive.
I mean, more, yes, absolutely. More stronger, more likely to survive, but also like more in tune with, you know, what nature needs or what nature seeks, what nature wants.
Demands, yeah.
Demands. So as a result, the Shadow Circle often allies itself with barbarian tribes or other hostile humanoids like orcs or giants or goblins, especially those who live or choose to live in forest lands or in mountains in the wild. And they deliberately encourage people to abandon what they call civilization's decadence, and in turn to return to a more natural existence of hunting and gathering. So very much, you know, eschew the trappings of modern civilization. And we've been discussing David Fincher a lot lately, and it's got a very Tyler Durden feel to it.
Project Mayhem. Yeah. Right. That's sort of interesting. So the Shadow Druids, if I can get into a slight Act One, Baldur's Gate 3 spoiler, they're the ones in the Grove, right? The
correct.
The ones who they're kicking out the tieflings and everything. Yes. Is it okay that I said that?
Yes.
Okay. It's interesting because like I played through and I had no idea that they were this dark. Like, I mean, I knew that, you know, they had some thoughts about survival in nature, but I had no idea that that their beliefs actually went this far. So that's kind of that definitely casts them in a different light than I was sort of seeing them. I sort of took them to be like hippy dippy, but with one mean member.
Right, like a little misguided. What I think that one, I think the druids in the Grove aren't shadow druids, aren't, you know, from the Shadow Circle.
Okay,
but I think that their leader is aligned themselves with them.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
And that that position was anathema to the rest of the druidic circle, and we'll see why, because it's, like you said, they're very dark, very, they don't seem like good people, which is wild because they're also like, and we talk about their alignment in a little bit too, but it's they're brutal. They're, for better or worse, they are brutal folk.
Right.
And so, like I said, like their intentions are neutral. So they, you know, that in and of itself, you know, wanting to, you know, discard yourself from, you know, discard civilization, you know, break free from those shackles and return to a more simplistic lifestyle. That in and of itself is not good or evil. It's very much neutral. It's just that the methods the Shadow Circle members tend to promote or tend to use promote chaos and evil. And they behave as they do, you know, not due to an evil nature. In fact, their enemies include powerful evil empires as well, you know, but they also include like good empires. But rather, they feel their cruel activities work toward the best interests of evolution and of nature itself. So, and to me, like, you know, this very much has, you know, to throw in like comic book analogies into it, you know, Magneto or Killmonger, like energy to it. Like they have their mission and their goal, and to
the
in
ends
their
justify
minds,
the means.
Exactly. And the ends in and of itself doesn't seem too bad. It's like, hey, like maybe, like, you know, maybe we shouldn't be like tearing trees down and tearing forests down to build up cities. Maybe we can just live like that, live amongst the natural life, natural habitat environment.
But they're willing to hurt people to help that.
Exactly. You know, so like I said, they count amongst their enemies, you know, both evil and good empires. You know, for instance, the Shadow Circle may provide magical assistance to barbarian hordes trying to sack a city led by an evil tyrant. Or they might lead humanoid tribes in raids against human or dwarven towns who are just simply for existing. And like I said, sometimes the Shadow Circle is very much aligned with the cause of good. You know, for instance, they would consider an evil city-state based around slave trade a fair target.
Right.
And they would feel as eager as any lawful good paladin to support a revolution, a slave revolt, in hopes of toppling the city. Which is, those sound like good guys to me.
Yeah, that sounds like heroes. That's some Daenerys Targaryen before she, you know, in the early days.
But like you said, the means are often brutal. So, you know, the difference between them and what we would classically think as a hero, the Shadow Circle would encourage the slaves in revolt to burn the city to the ground and destroy everything. Only, you know, and then settle down as farmers or hunters or even outlaws in the countryside. So it's, like I said, it's very wishy-washy in terms of, you know, they're never going to be on one side or the other. They're always going to be on their own side, and the side that, you know, that puts forth, you know, pushes forward their goals and you
agenda.
Know, exactly. Lower ranking members of the Shadow Circle often wage campaigns of terror against small settlements, usually working behind the scenes, and their favorite puppets to use, or favorite folks to sort of manipulate, are intelligent monsters like evil lycanthropes.
Is there any particular reason that they are attracted to intelligent monsters?
I would guess that they're even if they are intelligent, they would be able, they'd be easier to manipulate, you know, or at least easier to control, rather, once manipulated.
Right. And they've probably already got a chip on their shoulders because they're outcast by regular society. So
exactly. I mean, show me a society that doesn't kick out a were-rat, and I will show you a society that I would love to be a part of, an ideal society. I don't know. Were-rats are pretty awful.
Are they? I didn't even know about were-rats until just now.
Yeah, they're a thing. And there's a very famous were-rat in the Dark Elf trilogy, the Drit, in the Legend of Dritz. And there's like a were-rat gang, essentially. And they are like I said, at the beck and call of the crime lord of that city, and even though they don't want to be. And so, they're very much with a chip on their shoulder, very much, can't exist in normal society.
Can you imagine, like, you get to be a monster, right? And you find out, you're going to be a were-rat, of all the monsters to be. Seems like pretty terrible, a pretty awful lot in life. Like, it's bad enough if you're a werewolf, but at least you turn into this awesome giant wolf. But a were-rat, I assume they're rat-sized when they transform,
just like a werewolf, is a giant, man-shaped, man-sized wolf. You're just a man-sized or woman-sized rat.
Oh, okay, so they are big. They're not.
Oh yeah, no, they don't shrink down.
Okay. That's a little bit better, I guess. I mean, you're still horrifying.
Is it a giant, 5-6 foot rat is better to you?
It's better than if I have to become a monster, I would rather be a giant rat than a tiny rat.
Okay.
Well, I'll go on record as saying that right now.
That's going on your tombstone. So who comprises the Shadow Circle? What does their membership look like? What does their Facebook look like? So the members of the Shadow Circle keep their allegiance secret from other druids while maintaining their own, the parallel circle rankings. So they are part of their, I would guess, original druidic sect. And that would run, like I said, parallel to however, whatever hierarchy there is within the Shadow Circle. An archdruid in the Shadow Circle is also an archdruid in a mainstream circle, for example. Shadow Circle druids of 11th level or higher follow the normal druidic practice of advancing in level through what's known as the challenge or druidic trial. And so in my research in this, the challenge is essentially a lower level druid challenging a higher level druid in combat. And if they're able to defeat them, then they raise up in level.
Is it a fight to the death, or is it just...
Well, normally no. However, okay, in Shadow Circle, things aren't exactly the same as in, I guess, the more mainstream sects of druidism.
Right, right.
And then there's the druidic trial, which would be something, any trial of sort that you would give to a lower level druid. You could go retrieve this item, go save this person, whatever it may be, to have them advance in level. So in fact, the Shadow Circle druids encourage each other to challenge non-members in mainstream circle hierarchy, thereby increasing their number among the inner circle members. So they encourage them, hey, go challenge them, and that way you can be higher in the mainstream circle.
And if you get higher in the mainstream circle, you're higher in the Shadow Circle too, right?
Right. And then also, you have more power, you have more influence, and then you could either bring other members in, or at least, keep whatever mainstream circle you're a part of kind of aloof to the Shadow Circle's, ongoings and plans and agenda.
So you can cut this out if this is jumping ahead. I didn't remember this from the notes, but does the Shadow Circle, and if I'm jumping ahead, just let me know, have an end game? Or is the idea that they are all, or are they kind of like the Sith in the Star Wars prequels, where it's they're always before, the Sith did have an end game because they overthrew the Jedi and the Republic, but before that, where they're just kind of hanging out and surviving and, trying to thrive while leaving the Order largely untouched?
I would say that, what we discussed earlier is essentially the downfall of what is modern civilization there, the destruction of cities and towns and everyone living this more pastoral lifestyle is the end game.
But do they have an end game towards the larger, I guess, druidic orders? Like as far as taking those over, or do they feel like their work stays in the shadows forever? You know, that they just like a secret society kind of just shaping the world, but like content to kind of stay in the shadows.
I couldn't find anything about that explicitly, but I would guess that it would be something that, you know, once they're able to, if they were ever able to accomplish their goals on a large scale, they would, you know, expose themselves. They would present themselves out in the public. But as of right now, it's, you know, and this is in keeping with, you know, encouraging their members to challenge mainstream members, and thus, you know, elevate themselves within those circles, is to weaken other druidic circles, so that if, you know, they were to come to power in some way, they're, you know, these mainstream circles are less likely to have it be in a position to fight back.
Okay, that makes sense.
So an arc of the Shadow Circle exists in any domain where druids live, and its members may come from any druidic branch. And it says that typically only 1 in 5 initiates, but as many as 1 in 3 higher level druids secretly belongs to the Shadow Circle. So that's 20%. And then when it comes to higher level,
yeah.
1 in 3 is a wild number.
That's a lot. That's a lot of shadow druids.
It says that a great druid usually is not a member, but one can never tell for sure. And a great druid is like one of the highest levels, you know, archdruid. It's been equated to like kind of the Catholic Church hierarchy. You know, you have a bishop mm-hmm. and an archbishop and a pope.
Right.
So it's sort of like that.
Okay.
In some troubled domains, in particular those in which druids face persecution and the wilderness displays signs of wanton destruction from human cities, most of the druids may join the Shadow Circle, and which makes sense. I mean, if you're if you see your people and the things you care about destroyed, persecuted and destroyed, you're more likely to get radicalized, essentially.
Yes, yes.
In this instance, Shadow Circle druids adopt secret names to conceal their identities from each other. But when they do meet, they do so while shape-changed or wearing masks carved to represent predators native to the domain, which I think is very cool.
Yeah, that's so creepy.
And, you know, this type of secrecy is obviously important because, you know, especially in those kinds of environments where druids face persecution. I mean, if you just got one of like, you know, those normal hippy dippy druids and they're facing persecution, like you can only imagine what a more militant druid would be exposed to.
Yeah, for sure.
Although the Shadow Circle ethos corresponds to that of the order, most druids disdain the group's method and therefore its members. So there we have, like, you know, it's, you know, druids for the most part, you know, exalt nature over civilization, nature over, you know, buildings, towns, cities.
Right.
But it's the methods that the Shadow Circle employs that draw the ire of, you know, the more mainstream druids.
They don't want to hurt people, most druids.
Right. They only when nature or themselves is threatened would they, you know, draw up arms, essentially. A known Shadow Circle initiate faces the ire of other druids and possibly the ban for refusing to recant, as well as that of the local authorities.
So what happens if you're banned as a druid? Like, I mean, does that just mean they kick you out of the club, or can they like break your connection to magic or things like that?
I mean, I would guess, I mean, you're definitely like kicked out of the club. And I would guess that, you know, with their connection with nature, there's got to be something to that. There's got to be something to, like you deciding to become a druid is, you know, it's not like, you know, they just tear up your membership card and that's that.
Right.
Like, there's not much of a difference. You know, becoming a druid is, you know, much more intensive than that. And so as a result, I would guess, you know, not being part of that community or part of that fellowship would have its consequences.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Lower level druids constantly challenge exposed higher level shadow circle druids, seeking to depose and possibly destroy offenders. And in turn, the shadow circle often tries to cause trouble within the druidic order. For instance, in order to recruit disaffected druids into their midst, group members covertly encourage rivalry between druidic branches. So basically, like, oh, hey, I heard the Circle of the Moon druids were talking trash about you. Like, what? Those moonies? I don't know what pejoratives druids have toward each other.
I'm sure that they're very powerful.
I saw him wearing leather shoes. Oh no, he didn't. I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea what smack talk druids can come up with. So a prevalent example of this would be to manipulate the jealousy between like the dominant forest druids and the members of other less influential branches. Characters may learn of the Shadow Circle when they discover a plot to ferment such trouble between druids from rival branches. But it is important to keep in mind, like we mentioned earlier, that these Shadow Circle druids, the methods are that of an extremist. They're not evil. They're very much neutral, and their anti-civilization feelings do not alter their neutral alignment, which is, to me, is one of the most interesting things about them.
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, I know D&D has its whole alignment system, but it seems like extremism, you know, regardless of intention, would push you into evil. But I guess within the prescribed morality of D&D, that's just not how it works, which is really interesting to think about, that the intention matters that much despite the actions.
Well, and that's, you know, an alignment as a whole has been, for lack of a better term, watered down in 5e. It's not as important anymore. Like, you know, in older editions, you would have spells or attacks, whatever it may be, that would only affect certain alignments.
Oh, interesting.
And so, like, this spell would only affect those of a chaotic alignment or a good alignment or whatever it may be. And that sort of thing doesn't really exist in 5e. And that was one of the main points of Planescape in terms of how it was put together, how it was written out, is that many of these planes of existence are aligned, you know, well, they're all aligned to a certain either good or evil or chaotic or neutral rather. But so many of them are taken to the extremes. And so you would have like Mechanus, which is lawful, but it's so, you know, binary and so, like, you know, mechanized essentially, that right, there's no room for, there's no wiggle room for imagination or creativity.
Right.
And so I could definitely see this definitely fitting into the old structure of the alignment within D&D. Is like, they are neutral, their methods are extreme, but they're not evil. They're not doing this because they have, you know, evil in their hearts.
Right.
And really quickly, before we jump to the middle of the show, talk about the Shadow Clave, which is essentially the what you would call a group of these Shadow Circle druids. So members of the Shadow Circle, like, they work in secret, you know, pretending to be these mainstream druids, you know, essentially working their office jobs before they go and participate in Project Mayhem. You know, for example, they all attend like druidic moots, which is what you would call like a gathering. But every season, each arc of the Shadow Circle also holds its own secret meeting. This is known as the Shadow Clave. And they hold this meeting in the dark of the moon. The meeting lasts, it's fantastic. The meeting lasts 3 nights, during which the membership celebrates its own version of traditional druidic ceremonies and receives new orders from the Shadow Master, who we will discuss after the middle of the show. Shadow Master is awesome. Her inner circle. Prisoners the Shadow Circle have taken throughout the season, and this is extremely brutal. Like, when you mentioned you didn't realize how dark they can get and how brutal they can get, I'm pretty sure this is what you're explicit or implicitly referencing.
Yeah.
So prisoners that they have taken throughout the season, along with disloyal or disobedient members, they've been kept alive this entire time. That's until the Shadow Clave comes upon them. Once the Shadow Clave takes place, it's then that the Inner Circle tortures and publicly executes these prisoners or disloyal or disobedient members to remind the membership of what happens to traitors and enemies of the Shadow Circle.
So George R. R. Martin.
It's pretty awesome. I mean, you tell me this is what a Shadow Druid is, I'm gonna say like Shadow Druids are awesome. I mean, researching this and taking these notes, I'm like, yeah, this is good stuff.
Agreed.
But like I said, we're going to jump to the middle of the show really quickly, do all the middle of the show stuff. And when we come back, we will discuss how one becomes recruited, how one becomes a member of the Shadow Circle, as well as the Shadow Master.
Hey there, Dungeon Masters. Ever wished for a tool to help design your worlds and campaigns? Introducing Epic World Builder, the app that turns those dreams into reality. Craft intricate dungeons populated with creatures from the abyss, or cities with secrets hidden around every corner. Join a community of dreamers and world builders sharing and exploring each other's creations. Create your free campaign today with EpicWorldBuilder.com. EpicWorldBuilder.com, where your world comes to life.
Welcome to the middle of the show. The middle of the show, of course, is where we do all of our fun housekeeping stuff, like thanking you, the listeners, thanking you for your support, for listening to the show, for telling your friends about it, for if your DMs telling your players about it, if your players telling your DMs about it. And especially thank you to all the patrons over at patreon.com/DnDLorecast. It is through their support that we're able to do a lot of fun stuff, like pay artists to create artwork for merchandise, to create artwork for the Magic Items of the Week book that is still coming out very shortly, and to do a bunch of other cool stuff that we normally wouldn't be able to do. So thank you so much to both the listeners, both the patrons. And if you want to support the show, you can do so in many ways. Like I said, you can go to patreon.com/DnDLorecast, check out one of the handful of tiers that we have available, see if any of those work for you. If you want to support the show in other ways, you can follow us on all the different social medias, pretty much everywhere. We are at DnDLorecast. We try to stay as active as possible. Instagrams, TikToks, all that fun stuff. Now, in terms of D&D news, this is something that was brought up a few months ago, and is actually, it's so funny how these things get announced, and you think it's some happening, you know, sometime in the distant future, and then they're like, oh yeah, that thing that we announced several months ago, where it's going to happen like next week. The Dungeons and Dragons channel, television channel, the FAST, which is an acronym for free ad-supported television. the D&D Adventures Fast streaming channel is going to be launched next week on the 11th. So just less than a week away. It will include three new shows, including Heroes Feast, which is a cooking show, a Encounter Party, which is a fantasy adventure, and Faster Purple Worm Kill Kill, which is a comedy game show with folks like Patton Oswalt, Matthew Lillard of Beatles and Grimm fame. Also, you might know him as he acts in some stuff too. But yeah, it's launching. You can find it on Amazon's Freevee. You can find it on Plex. But yeah, I mean, this is where we have a D&D channel coming out, and it's a hopefully it's going to be pretty cool. It's going to be you know, like Mary and I, when they announced it, Mary and I discussed like this, the possibilities are almost endless as to the kind of programming that they can provide on this channel. They can provide obviously actual plays. They can provide tips on how to build characters, on how to DM, on how to role play. You know, these can all be shows and you have like talk shows. You can have a guest come on and talk about, you know, talk about how much they love D&D. So definitely check it out. We have a link to an article from Collider in the show notes if you want to check that out. As far as other notes or other links in the show notes, that leads us to our homebrew corner of the week. Obviously, we're talking about Shadow Druids and Druids as a whole. So there's a link if to just Druid, homebrew Druid stuff on DM's Guild. If you just go to DM's Guild and search Druid, and like search for DM's Guild content, actual homebrew content, you find any number. You find a ton. You find Circle of the Spirits, Druid subclass, Circle of the Death Bloom, Circle of the Fountain, Circle of the Beast. I mean, they, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, this is the Druidic subclass is, you know, it's a feast is when it comes to the homebrew community. So definitely check those out. Most of them are free or just a buck. You know, something, you know, I mean, it's a subclass. So, and also make sure that, yeah, it's cool with your DM. You know, some DMs, I don't know them personally, but some DMs might frown upon homebrew stuff. Again, I don't know them personally, perish the thought, but just in case. But in terms of what I really wanted to recommend for this week, this came across my desk just recently. It was on BackerKit. It is a backer kit, for those unfamiliar. It's kind of like Kickstarter, essentially. This is from Evil Hat Productions. They are the folks behind Thirsty Sword Lesbians, Blades in the Dark, Monster of the Week, and of course, the at-large Fate RPG system itself. This is Deathmatch Island. Now, this looks as... A fan, as someone who Battle Royale is one of their favorite movies, this is definitely right up my alley. So, Deathmatch Island, congratulations, competitor 359. You have been selected to participate in Deathmatch Island. Winning will mean fame, freedom, and unlimited wealth. You may be experiencing some confusion and memory loss. This is normal following. It is important that you do not panic. Deathmatch Island is a fast-paced role-playing game about a deadly game show set on a chain of mysterious islands. Armed only with their hazy memories and matching uniforms, the players compete in challenges to satisfy the demands of production. So if you're a fan of, like I said, Battle Royale or The Hunger Games, obviously, Squid Game, and then reality shows like Survivor, or just messed up reality TV in general, Deathmatch Island is going to be what you want to pick up. There is a link in the show notes to the backer kit. It's already fully funded. It funded in a day. There are about a week and a half left to support the backer kit, and it looks incredible. It looks like so much fun. You can get the PDF for as low as $15, and then you also get a coupon to get a print on demand copy that's at cost through DriveThruRPG. So for $15, for less than $20, you can have this game, and it's like, I guarantee you it's going to be worth it. If it's on the level of the rest of Evil Hat Productions works, then it's absolutely going to be worth it. So definitely check it out. Like I said, if you're a fan of Battle Royale, Squid Game, Hunger Games, messed up reality TV, this is going to be right up your alley. That being said, let's jump back to the show. Welcome back to the show. We are sitting with A Cosmology of Monsters, Sean Hamill, the special guest host for this episode. He hasn't brought up his book since the beginning, but I did. So somehow he's manipulated me into doing so. But we are discussing the Shadow Druids, or the Shadow Circle. The Shadow Druids are known as in Baldur's Gate 3, but the Shadow Circle of Druids as they're known in D&D at large. So when we last left, we were going to discuss how you became a Shadow Druid. So do you go to your local Shadow Druid recruitment office and sign up?
Take the ASVAB?
The day you turn 18? No, actually, the Shadow Circle does not take volunteers. It goes out and it seeks and it finds new members on its own. Recruitment is by invitation only. And it is in the hands of the Shadow Master and the Inner Circle, who are always on the lookout for druids who seem ready to embrace the ruthless Shadow Circle philosophy. For example, if a druid massacres a party of travelers who ventured into a sacred grove, the Shadow Circle would probably soon come looking for this prospective candidate. Like, hey, look, hey, kitty, it seems like you got the moxie, you got the goods. you got exactly what we're looking for. Another good possibility is a druid who has destroyed a village whose peasants dared to clear a wooded area for use as farmland. So they essentially game recognize game when it comes to the Shadow Circle.
Now, is the Shadow Circle... does the larger druidic circle know that the Shadow Circle exists? I mean, they must, right? Because
they hate druids, them. They hate their stinking guts. They are the scum between their toes.
It's interesting to me the idea that you could massacre a party of people who venture into a sacred grove and not get kicked out of the order just for that.
Well, I mean, that might be something that then the more mainstream circle would be like, hey, we like, come on, guy, let's not do that again.
Again. Everybody gets one massacre.
You get one massacre, but that's it. But you know, and or that might be something that they could, you know, possibly atone for in some way. But the act in and of itself is enough to draw the attention of the Shadow Circle, be like, hey, like we need a, and they might even help them covertly sort of like, you know, pay whatever penance might be paid. It's like, oh, they say you gotta go like, you know, plant 10 trees or whatever. Like, yeah, well, we got you. We'll plant those trees for you. We got Gary over there. Like, all he does is plant trees.
That's his job.
Gary the tree planter.
He's a Shadow Druid. Like the rest of us, but you know, instead of killing people, he plants trees so that the rest of us can kill with impunity.
So we can do whatever we want. Look, it takes a village.
It does take a village. And even it's nice to see that the Shadow Circle understands that, despite extremist views in other ways. Civilization is a failure, but it does take a village.
And other problematic behavior. A member of the Shadow Circle, known as a Shadowed One, would spy on this potential member for as little as a few weeks or even up to a few months, often using animal spies for, you know, as additional eyes. And if this druid's deeds and words seem in league, seem in sympathy with the goals of the Shadow Circle, the character receives a visit from this Shadowed One, from this, you know, Shadowed Circle member that has been keeping tabs on them. Or, you know, a couple of them if the candidate is of a higher level before the next Shadowclave. The Shadowed One would explain the group's purposes, inviting the newcomer to join. And, you know, obviously, like, some say yes, some say no. So what, knowing what you know, good sir, about the Shadow Circle, what would you think their reaction would be to someone who refuses membership?
I'd say they'd probably give them a handshake and, just send them on their way. That's fair. You know what? This life isn't for everyone. We thought when you massacred that group of travelers in the Sacred Grove that, you know, you were in alignment with us, but, clearly, you know, we don't see eye to eye on this. So, you know, if you ever need a letter of recommendation, you know, you've got our number. So just hit us up.
We appreciate your time. We appreciate your hospitality.
And we appreciate your willingness to murder, you know, even if it's not for us.
If anything changes in, you know, either in the near future or in the distant future, let us know.
Yeah, we hope you'll pick up the phone.
Nice as that may sound, as hopeful as you may be, that is how the Shadow Circle would would react to rejection. Druids who refuse, or even waver, I like the fact that it's even like, unless it's a heart, yeah, like they coincidentally turn up dead shortly thereafter.
Oh man.
So unless it's a hard and fast, like, yes, absolutely, let me join your kill circle, your hippy dippy kill circle. Unless it's that, then yeah, you're probably going to end up dead.
I mean, consent is important to the Shadow Circle.
Absolutely. And being lukewarm, that's just as bad. We spit you out.
Yeah. It's got to be an emphatic yes, or your days are numbered.
They don't play around. So candidates who do agree to join are blindfolded or given a mask and taken to the Shadowclave, and there the Shadow Master gives them each a secret name. So after
that's
receiving,
so awesome.
It's the whole and what's crazy is, like, I have a bit of a reputation on the Lorecast as loving all the evil things. That's just because the evil things are so much cooler. All the bad guys have the coolest nicknames. There's been like maybe cool good guy nickname this entire time I've been the host of this freaking show. But all the bad guy nicknames, all the evil nicknames are dope AF. They're so cool.
I mean, look. If nobody's done the D&D novel about the Shadow Circle yet, like, that needs to happen. Like, I was thinking, like, I know this would never fly as the D&D movie, not in terms of like lining up with the Chris Pine movie, but like the Shadow Druid story just seems like it would make maybe a good TV show or something. I don't know, but like, somebody's got to do something with this outside in the media outside of the game if they haven't already.
Well, lucky for you, I know someone who writes books.
Yeah, if you're listening, Wizards, hit me up. I do licensed fiction. I got my first job I can't talk about, but
we cannot discuss it.
Right. But yes, I would happily write that book.
But no, I completely agree. And that's, you know, to me, that's the beauty of D&D is that it doesn't necessarily have to. And I know, like, the Marvel Cinematic Universe is, you know, kind of tried to do this, but they always kind of, you know, default back to the norm. But this is genuinely an IP, an intellectual property that you could have, you know, your basic action comedy, you could have your high fantasy, you could have your horror, you could have your sort of like grimy, I guess, like thriller, which, you know, mystery thriller,
right,
with the Shadow Circle. And it could all be under the D&D umbrella.
Yeah, it's a very that's part of the beauty of D&D.
Absolutely. So you agree to become a Shadow Circle member. You're blindfolded, or you're given a mask, you're taken to the Shadowclave, you're given this secret nickname by the Shadow Master. And after receiving your sworn allegiance, the Shadow Master formally welcomes you, the new member, into the Shadow Circle, and then commands you to perform some symbolic but dangerous task to prove your ruthlessness and dedication. And this, the difficulty of this assignment would depend on the character's experience level. You know, for example, if you're lower level, it might be something like
ruin a kid's birthday party.
Or they chopped down they cleared a grove to have this kid's birthday party. Yeah, go ruin it. Yeah, exactly.
Tell a kid Santa's not real.
Like, how does that further our goals? Like, I don't know. I don't like that kid.
Yeah, I just want to mess up his day.
Yeah, why not? He's a dumb kid. But in actuality, this kind of mission usually involves assassinating a specific enemy of the Shadow Circle, such as a noble or a priest in the city that the group has targeted for destruction. But the task might be simpler, such as poisoning a town well. Like, go kill one person, or you could do something easy, which is like potentially kill an entire city of people.
Right.
So the shadowed one who has recruited this druid will follow along secretly, you know, ready to slay the new initiate who, if they show weakness, or if they risk capture, or if they try to betray the group.
So even after your emphatic yes, even after you put on a mask or a blindfold and get your secret badass nickname or your secret, sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Yeah.
Okay. Even after you get your secret name, if you don't perform this task with enough emphatic yesness to your actions, you still might go down.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I mean,
it's hard out there for Shadow Druid.
Well, I mean, it's, you got to be in it to win it, you know, and they're not, they want to make sure that everyone in the group, everyone in the club, yeah, feels the same way about the club as everyone else.
Right, right. Yeah, well, I mean, it's the, yeah, that cleansing fire idea, right? That they're all blades sharpening one another, and if you're dull, then, you know, you don't belong.
Yeah, you know, like an armor is just as strong as its weakest link, as it's the weakest point. And so if you got some weak druid, you know, breaking weak, you know, potentially, like, you know, telling, like, look, man, I was supposed to kill you, but man, these crazy druids made me do it. Like, nah, like, we can't have that.
So, I was going to poison the well, but I cried while I did it, and they killed me for it.
I was going to ruin this kid's birthday party, but
but he seemed like a sweet kid.
He seemed like a rosy-cheeked little boy. Couldn't do it. I couldn't tell him Santa wasn't real. You're dead.
Kids need that magic.
You're dead.
You're dead.
You have just signed your death warrant, you fool. So those who aren't weak and cowardly, those who succeed in this mission, you know, it is finally then that the Shadow Circle embraces them as full members. So who runs this whole crazy operation? So the Shadow Master, the highest level druid in the Shadow Circle, usually at least an arch druid, they take command of the group. If two or more druids of equal value, it's like a coupon. If two or more druids of equal level seek the post, they generally duel to the death. Though one combatant, usually the younger of the two, could agree to serve under the other, which makes sense. It's like, hey, we both want this group to succeed. We're both, you know, in it to win it. How about we don't kill one another? Or how about one of us doesn't kill the other? How about we work together?
I'll be the Secretary of the Interior. You can be the Shadow Master.
Exactly. So unlike the semi-autonomous mainstream circles, the Shadow Circle maintains strict discipline over its various far-flung arcs. and the Shadow Master exercises absolute authority over the membership. So under the Shadow Master are the members of the Inner Circle. And the Inner Circle consists of all the Druidic Order's Druids and Archdruids. The Shadow Master remains apart from the Inner Circle, but together the Shadow Master and the Inner Circle make policy and direct the initiates. So for our friends stateside, our listeners stateside, it's like the president and Congress. You know, they're separate, but they work together to make stuff happen. And for those, you know, our international listeners, I have no idea. I don't know what analogy. prime ministers and parliaments, maybe.
Perhaps.
I'm not sure. Like, I barely know how our government works or doesn't work for that matter. Like, I can't be expected to keep track of everyone's. And it, I mean, unless if you are listening from a country whose government seems to have it figured out, please write us, please write in at dndlorecast@gmail.com and let us know how that works. Let us know how maybe we could take a note
take
or
a
two.
Cue. Yeah.
Yeah. So only the Shadow Master knows the real names of members of the Inner Circle. The identities of these high-ranking members are even unknown to each other. The lower-level initiates within this secret society, unlike the more independent initiates of mainstream circles, are expected to obey all orders from Inner Circle members and or from the Shadow Master. You know, failure means punishment, which usually means death.
You got one disciplinary measure in the Shadow Circle.
It's brutal. I mean, if there's nothing that that's been displayed in this past hour or so, it's that the Shadow Circle is brutal.
Fair.
So I mentioned shadowed ones earlier, as far as like, you know, a shadowed one will follow a potential new recruit, you know, to vet them out, and then follow them again just to make sure that, you know, they follow through with whatever awful mission they have to accomplish. So they reach a high enough level to have a special status in the Shadow Circle. And that status, they're known as the Shadowed Ones. And they're known as the Shadow Master's special tools, because in particular, they act as enforcers and assassins for the secret group, hunting those who have disobeyed their flawless and fearsome leader or have been expelled from the mysterious society. The Shadow Master sometimes encourages Shadowed Ones to serve as ambassadors to arcs of the Shadow Circle operating in other domains. And Shadowed Ones automatically advance to the Inner Circle in the Shadow Circle when they achieve a high enough level in their mainstream circle.
Because it's parallel.
Right. So, I mean, that'd be an easy way to just advance in the Shadow Circle, is just to
do a good job at your day job.
Your day job. You know, like, you know what? Gary's really good at eating ghosts.
Let's promote him to a level 7 ghost eater. You show up to your Shadow Circle and you're like, guess what, guys? I'm level 7 in the Shadow Circle now. Here's my my credentials. You know, I assume you get a badge or something, you know, when you get promoted in a regular druidic circle, maybe a chip, some sort of token. But yeah, it's like you don't even have to do anything that bad to advance after you've done the initial mission. Just keep doing good at your day job and you advance. I mean, you might not make it to the Inner Circle, but
I mean, it's not a bad life.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a bad life. If we can say anything to wrap up this conversation about the Shadow Circle, it's not a bad life.
Not a bad life. I do want to see Pac-Man as a druid. And that's something that I think D&D should do more of, is like this sort of like cross promotion with other brand names. It's like, have like a Ronald McDonald and the gang murder mystery. Like, who killed the Grimace? and you roll up awesome. Characters. So you already have like pre-gens for, you know, for Ronald and for the Fry guys.
I remember I got really excited a couple of years ago when I was shopping for you for Christmas when I saw that Nerds, the candy, was doing a cross promotion with D&D. So which wasn't even anything as elaborate as Who Killed the Grimace. You know, it was just like, hey, scan this QR code or something, and you know, you get a little bit of D&D content. But
yeah, you got like a little mini adventure.
But yeah, even that I got really excited about. So I would definitely be down for them doing something more elaborate and cross promoting, especially since D&D is, from everything I understand, you would know better than I would, but it's more popular than it's ever been, from what I understand.
It's the most popular thing in my household.
Fair.
But yeah, I want to see a Namco and D&D crossover. I want to see Pac-Man as a ghost eating druid who gets approached by the Shadow Circle.
I play that game so hard.
And who rebukes them. And so it's up to him and Miss Pac-Man and a couple of the characters from Tekken and even Dark Souls to save his life.
To take on the entire Shadow Circle and maybe even take down the Shadow Master.
Yeah. I mean, look, the story, it's, you know, it can go any number of ways. But the point is, the story should be written.
Yes, I think we can all agree on that.
But thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your time. And if you have any questions, if you have any thoughts or any ideas for future episodes, like I said, hit us up at dndlorecast@gmail.com. My name is Sergio.
My name is Sean.
Fare thee well, dear listener. And until we meet again, may all your 20s be natural.
Thank you for listening to the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast. If you've enjoyed the show, consider following us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at D&D Lorecast, or jumping into the Robots Radio Discord to chat more with us about Dungeons & Dragons. We'll see you soon.
Listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.